Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, Christian friends, I'm William Bell. Welcome to our Fulfilled Bible Prophecy broadcast. And once again, we thank you for your tuning in and for being with us today. As always, we consider it a privilege and a blessing, a great opportunity to have this time to share with you. We do apologize for being just a few minutes late getting on the air, a little bit of technical difficulty there, but we continue to work our way through using technology as we go on. Today we're going to be talking to you on the subject of, did you miss the judgment? Did you miss the judgment? It's an examination of the end time judgment of God, where Jesus said that his people pass from death to life and do not come into condemnation. So the question is, did you miss the judgment? Right now I'm going to give you the number to call in. If you have questions about this subject, the number to dial is 646-378-1919. Again, that number is 646-378-1919. We do encourage you to give us a call if you have your questions so that we can get your questions on the air, and we'll do our best to respond to them if you have comments or even criticisms. Of course, we encourage those as well. So make sure that you make a note of the number, 646-378-1919. That's 646-378-1919. We also would like to invite you to visit our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's lastdays-eschatology.net. Or you may visit us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. That's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Now, let us get into our lesson today. We have several passages that we want to put before you in terms of, did you miss the judgment? Now, the one that we want to start out with, especially the one that sets forth the theme of the discussion today, is John chapter 5. And the verse is 24. John chapter 5, and the verse is 24. Here is Jesus in a discussion with some Jews who were seeking to kill him. They were persecuting him, of course, and they sought to kill him because he had done certain things on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says that he answered to them that whatever he did were the things that he saw the Father do. Now, when we look at the things that the Father did, we have to go back to the Old Testament, and we will see how God acted in history with man concerning those things wherein he judged man. And Jesus said, of course, he acted in the same manner. But now, in verse 24, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life." Actually, it says has not come into judgment, but the idea there is he does not come into condemnation because he has passed from death into life. And so the scripture says, "Moreover, or more assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Now, many people believe that there is going to be a final day of reckoning for all of mankind who live on the earth. In other words, they believe that at some point in time in the future, when this world has run its course, that God is going to line people up on the right and on the left, and he's going to look at their lives, and he's going to pronounce judgment upon them one way or the other in terms of how these people have lived and thereby sentence some to, or send some to heaven and commit the others to eternal damnation or torment. And many people live in fear of the judgment. They live in fear of a coming judgment. And so what we want to do is look at the scriptures and find out whether or not we have any grounds for fear. And when I say we, I'm speaking of those who are obedient believers in Jesus Christ, those who are truly sons of God. Do we have any concern about future judgment? Now, we know that there are people out there who do have these concerns because many of them want to escape this world. They do not even want to be a part of this world. They're looking for a way out. Now, they're not going to commit suicide or anything, but they think it is within the plan of God to take them out of this world. So what we want to do is look at the scriptures to find out just exactly what the Bible says. Now, when we talk about the judgment, we find that God stated that he was going to reward every man according to his works. So we do not deny that the Bible speaks of judgment. The Bible does talk about judgment in Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. But in that context of Matthew 16, verses 27 and 28, the judgment mentioned there is one which takes place within the first century generation. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 27 and 28, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Now, there is a message regarding the judgment, where the Son of Man is going to reward each one according to his works. So, the Bible does say that God would reward each one according to his works. In other words, those who have done good will receive according to the good that they have done, and those who have done evil receive according to the evil which they have done. However, what we must continue to read is the next verse that explains in detail when this judgment that the Bible speaks about was going to take place. In other words, we cannot read verse 27 and omit verse 28 because these verses are inseparably connected. So let's take a look at verse 28. The Bible says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, when the Bible says that, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here," the word "assuredly" is never used in any of the statements made by Christ to introduce another subject or a new subject. In other words, it always serves to confirm or to validate and to corroborate the subject that has already been mentioned. Therefore, when we see the word "assuredly," Jesus is not introducing a new subject. He is not breaking context with what he has already stated, but he is, in fact, stating something that he has already said and therefore offering more clarification. And the clarification which he offers is that which pertains to the timing of the event which he mentions in verse 27. And so the Bible says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, the reason he talks about the coming of the Son of Man in his kingdom is because the coming of the Son of Man and the coming of the kingdom are concurrent events with the judgment. In other words, we have the judgment and the coming of the Son of Man in his kingdom all occurring at the same time. There is no distinction between them. For example, when we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Now let's break this down for just a moment and look at the passage to see the various elements within the passage. The Bible says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge. Now, there is the judgment. As we said from Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 28, that the judgment and the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man, and the parousia are one and the same as far as time is concerned. They are concurrent events. They do not happen, for example, in one dispensation separated by 1,000 years or 2,000 years or by several millennia. They are all concurrent events. And so he says, I will judge. He will judge. But whom will he judge? The Bible says the living and the dead. The living and the dead. So it is a judgment of the living and the dead. Now, inasmuch as it is the judgment of the living and the dead, the Bible shows that this is the resurrection that is involved. Because if Jesus judges the living and the dead, of course, would have to be present at the resurrection, or rather at the judgment, which would imply their resurrection. Thirdly, he says, at his appearing. Now, that is the coming of Christ. That is the return of Christ. And so that is the what is called the parousia from Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. So we have the parousia of Christ. And then the Bible says, and his kingdom. Hence, we have the coming of the kingdom of God. So the judgment that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28, is a judgment that involved the coming of the kingdom, the coming of the parousia, the resurrection of the dead, and therefore all tied together with the judgment. Now, what is the key point that is mentioned in Matthew 16 and verse 28 in regard to time? Well, the Bible says in verse 28 that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, the Bible says there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, what is that saying? That is saying that there were people who were living at the time Jesus Christ was on earth. There are people who were living when Jesus was present in his personal ministry. And they were standing in his presence at the time that he made these statements. And he looked at them and he said to them, there are some of you who are standing here who shall not die until you have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, in the glory of his Father, in his kingdom. Now, here's the question that we want to put before you, and that question is simply this. Are there people living on this earth who are almost or about 2,000 years of age? Do we have people who have been living on this earth all the way from the first century generation? Is it possible that people could be living on this earth for that length of time and therefore not have died and yet are awaiting Jesus' return? Well, that would be the conclusion that we would have to make if, in fact, there are those who believe that Jesus Christ is yet to come, if there are those who believe that Jesus Christ has not come, and therefore, if people are yet looking for a judgment, they would have to be in harmony with the view, they would have to be in agreement with the view, they would have to concur with the view that there are people living on this earth who are about 2,000 years old. Well, that is a conclusion that just doesn't set well with me. I mean, imagine YouTube would be filled with them. Larry King Live would have them on for interview, don't you think? They would be the talk of CNN. They would be all over the tabloids and everywhere else if these people were that old. And as a matter of fact, they could tell us a lot of things about the Lord Jesus Christ and his personality and many other things about him that we would not be able to know because we don't have any first-hand information from those who lived in the first century generation. But you see, those people of the first century have already passed on. They have already died. And Jesus' promise was this. He said, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass till all these things are fulfilled. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Therefore, there were people who were standing in the presence of Christ who would not die till they had seen him coming in his kingdom. Now, it's very interesting that when the Bible talks about judgment, it speaks of judgment as an event that was very imminent within the first century generation. In other words, it was something that was coming within the lifetime of people who lived in the first century. And there are people who have failed to understand that, and it's their opinion that judgment is something that is out in our future. And, of course, the Bible does not support that. Now, in John chapter 12, in the 12th chapter of the book of John, the Bible talks about the casting out of Satan. And the casting out of Satan is, of course, in harmony with the judgment, because the Bible shows that Satan was cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone at the judgment, when we look in the book of Revelation. But now let's take a look in John chapter 12 and the verses 31. Jesus used a term that he used several times in the book of John to talk about the judgment. And he said in John chapter 12 and verse 31, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." You know, the word "now" simply means what it means. It means now. It meant in that time, in the first century generation. And therefore, looking at it from that point of view, we should not impose and should not extrapolate the word "now" from the first century generation and thereby carry it over to the first, rather to the 21st century generation. When Jesus used the word "now," he was speaking of things in that day and time. Now, let me give you an illustration where he used this word again in the book of John to talk about something, and there is not a single person alive who knows anything about the scripture who would deny that Jesus speaks of something that is ongoing and present in our day and time. So let's take a look. The Bible says in John chapter 4, this is when Jesus has the conversation with the woman at the well. And, of course, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you'd like to get your question on the air, we certainly would encourage and invite you to do so. Our number to call is 646-378-1919. That is 646-378-1919. We encourage you to tune in with us, to give us a call, rather, and get your question on the air. Now, in John chapter 4, Jesus had this conversation with the woman at the well of Samaria, and in verse 20, she said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now watch verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is." The hour is coming, and now is, "when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Now let me ask you this. Are there not any true worshipers of God today? The Bible says they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And he said the time is coming and now is. Well, that's the same "now is" that is used in John chapter 12 and verse 31 when it says, "And now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." You see, when Jesus used the word "now is" in the book of John, that is the equivalent of the term "at hand" that's used in the Synoptic Gospels, that's used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They use the phrase "at hand," whereas John uses the term "now is." And "at hand" means that which is imminent, that which is close at hand as far as time is concerned when you're speaking of time, and therefore the word "now is the equivalent and means the same thing. So when Jesus said that the time for the judgment of Satan was near, He meant that it was coming very soon within the first century. And in Matthew 16 and verse 27 and 28, when he says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, and then he would reward each one according to his works, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." He said that the people living in that generation, people who were standing in his very presence, would not die till they had seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, who's going to believe that there are people still alive who were present with Christ in the first century? We cannot believe that. It doesn't make sense. It's absolutely illogical. So we have a couple of choices. One choice, we can conclude that our God is a liar. We can conclude that Christ is a liar and say that he didn't mean what he says. Unfortunately, there are so many people, even those who have reputable names in among Christendom and Christianity in religious circles, who have taken up the fact that Jesus knew nothing about what he was saying, that he actually lied about his return. Friends, that is a very, very sad commentary on people believing in Jesus, who says that he is the truth. He does not lie. He is the Son of God. We cannot ascribe lying to the Savior. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. He cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. So why is it so hard to believe the words of Christ when he said there are some standing here who shall not die till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? In other words, isn't it easier to believe that he did in fact come before some of those in the first century generation died? And having believed that, we understand, therefore, that the judgment of which he spoke in verse 27 had to take place. Therefore, for Christians, we have to understand that there is no more condemnation for those of us in Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Bible says there is no condemnation in John 5 and verse 24, where we started in our text today. John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Now, when we talk about passing from death into life, it is important for us to understand the kind of death that Jesus was talking about, because most people have their eschatology, most people have their eschatology focused on the demise of physical or biological death. That was never the concern of God. Physical death is not an enemy of man. It is not that which holds us back from the presence of God. It was spiritual death. And here is what Jesus said about spiritual death. In John, the 8th chapter, in verse 51, he said, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, if that statement is referring to physical death, then there is not a person alive who will escape death. There is not a single person who will, not even the apostles, would have made it. Not a single person in the New Testament, not a single person in the Old Testament would have made it. You see, it cannot be a reference to physical death. It is a reference to spiritual death. And that is the death from which we pass and to which we obtain eternal life when we put our hope and our trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we pass from death unto life and do not come into condemnation. Now, let me give you a couple of other scriptures as we wind down to close out the lesson. One scripture I want us to take a look at is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, just to show you some more emphasis in the New Testament on this time frame of the imminent judgment within the first century generation as opposed to some future judgment that people are expecting today. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses 7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand." Now, our question is, when did Peter write that? Did he write it yesterday? Did he write it this morning? Did he write it 100 years ago? No, he wrote that within the first century generation. he said, but the end of all things is at hand. And that means that the things were at hand within that time frame. First Peter was written somewhere around A.D. 64, within the first century generation. Well, there were people still alive at that time that stood in the presence of Jesus. Peter was one of them, remember? And therefore, he said, there are some of you who shall not die until, or shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, Peter said, you know, the time is now at hand for these things to come to pass. Now let's look again in verse 17. Verse 17 tells us that the time for the judgment had in fact come. We're still in that first century. He says, for the time has come. Now that's past perfect tense. He isn't saying that it's future. He says that time for the judgment to begin had come. So why are people expecting it today? Why are people looking for something that the Bible said had already come within the first century? For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, that's Peter and his readers, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, the Bible teaches that the judgment came within the first century generation before some of those who stood in the presence of Jesus died. And the scripture says that the time had already come, and therefore we should not be looking for a future judgment where people are going to stand on the right, people are going to stand on the left of Christ. The point being, when we obey the gospel, that is our judgment. We judge ourselves worthy of eternal life. If we refuse the gospel, we judge ourselves worthy of condemnation. That's all the time that we have for today. It's certainly been a pleasure being with you. We thank you for listening, those of you who tuned in, and we want you to tune in with us again on tomorrow. We'll continue our subject. Just check out the next subject for tomorrow, and we'll be back then. Check out our website at www.lastdayseschatology.net. That's lastdays-eschatology.net. I'm William Bell, your speaker today and your host. Once again, may God bless you and God keep you, and we'll see you on tomorrow.